to write a 500-word self-assessment. This will become a part of the final report. They are also required to take this report to their local boards of trustees, whom they are also accountable to each year, 1 year after this report comes out, or within 1 year. Colleges are provided with 3 years of ongoing data to show trends for each of the metrics, and they're also given a set of peer groups for which they can compare their college performance against other colleges that have like or similar characteristics. And this technical advisory group is going to continue to meet, and our job for the next year is to meet the needs of the SB 361 legislation that said we need to come up with performance metrics that measure outcomes on non-credit. In your two handouts, the first one here shows what some of the metrics are in this report. I'll go just really briefly over what they are. We have a metric that shows progress and achievement for degree, certificate, or transfer-seeking students who show behavioral intent to get a degree, certificate, or transfer. We have a standard fall-to-fall persistence rate because we know if we can get students through the first year, they have a much greater likelihood of succeeding. We talked earlier about measuring linkages between segments, and we are attempting to do some of that in this report. We have both an annual volume of and a rate of transfer to both CSU, UC, but we now have methodology to give us the volume of in-state, private, and out-of-state institutions that community college students transfer to. Actually, our number one in-state institution that community colleges transfer to is the University of Phoenix, and that institution is segmentally half the size of our transfer volume to the entire UC system. So it was very enlightening to get this data. Also, what is the annual number and percentage of baccalaureate students at CSU and UC that come from a community college? It shows the linkage and pipeline between the segments. Additionally, we're showing what are the annual volume of degrees and certificates, how many nurses every year, how many welders, automotive electricians, things like that. And also a very key piece of data that we've gotten from a data match with EDD, what is the increase in total personal income as a result of receiving a degree or certificate from the California Community College? It actually shows the wages of community college students before and after they get a degree from our segment. Finally, I gave you a copy of what the report looks like. It's a very abridged version. I won't go through it. You can see what all these numbers look like, both for the segment and one individual campus. Notice we've gratuitously used Chair Scott's former employer as our as our sample here. They did very well. The last two pages of this report, you can see how they did compared to their peer groups. And on the very last page, you can see what are their peer groups. And these are what the colleges are going to be responding to in their actual responses and what they're going to take to their local boards. Finally, I'd like to say the community college system is supportive of the statewide effort going on here. We were supportive of SB 1331. It certainly is a missing link in higher ed accountability in the state today. It is more than just a simple aggregation of system-wide totals aggregated up. There are a lot of social and quality of life metrics and constructs that higher ed affects that are not captured by the segments themselves. I would agree that we should refrain from institutional accountability in this type of report. The segments themselves are handling that capably at the moment. I would like to add that in coming up with such a higher education accountability report, I think it's not in the state's best interest to have one singular voice of analysis in this. The community colleges report is really, it's a data report. It shows a lot of data. The analysis is done by the campuses themselves. I think the state is best served by having multiple parties analyze progress that goes on. Ledge analysts, CPEC, Nancy Schulock, PPIC, the segments themselves. I think the state is served by having all kinds of opinions when they make their policy decisions. So finally, we look forward to working with you on this process as we did on 1331. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments?
Just one question, something that was raised in Rules Committee a couple weeks ago as we were confirming Randall Hernandez to the Board of Governors. Issue of assessment. You know, community colleges, very much unique from UC, CSU systems. Not all students attending community college necessarily are. Their goal isn't always necessarily to transfer to the four-year universities. That's sort of understood. Community colleges in some ways play a unique role in higher education. But to be able to track progress, success, you know, defining goals, et cetera, we got into this question of assessment. How often are we assessing? Are we assessing? When are we assessing what a student's academic goals might or might not be? Can you comment on that?
Sure. Assessment is it's a big topic in our system. It combines counseling efforts and testing efforts and placement and things like that. We've got 72 districts out there, locally governed in 109 individual community colleges. There's no common course numbering between them. There's not necessarily even sets of standards about what course is equivalent to what, and every campus seems to have to locally verify their own placement and assessment. It's also unfortunate, too, that community colleges whose student population have the greatest need for counseling and placement help and assessment have the least amount of resource to do that. I mean, we have very high counselor ratios, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 to 1. So it's a difficult task, and there is a lot of non-uniformity out there.
So given that, what recommendations, legislative or otherwise, do you have for us? Give just the top two or three here.
I think probably common course numbering is a very good one. That also helps the articulation going on with CSU and UC. And I think personally that we can both save a lot of money and get a lot of uniformity if we can whittle down the number of assessment and placement tests that we use in our system. I think the community colleges can somehow be economically incentivized to use a minimal number of tests.
Thank you.
On common course numbering, if you took a poll of the colleges, what would be the, if you were to say over a period of time we're moving to common course numbering, what do you think would be the outcome of the poll?
I think conceptually everyone in the community college administrations would agree that it's a very good idea, and it's a very good idea for the students. It would be more difficult to get it passed through all the collective academic senates that go on and their various different feelings about how their courses mesh with each other.
Thanks.
I think they would probably also look to be brought together in that facet, the academic senates. They certainly need to be at the table during such a process. I don't think anyone would disagree that it's not a very good thing to do.
Okay, thank you. Now, Mr. Brown.
Senator Scott, thank you. It's nice again to bat cleanup. You've got two presentations. I want to make four very brief points. First, in 2003, I joined Chancellor Vanderhoff in the development of SB 1331. We were supportive then. We are supportive now. The independent colleges continue to work with our colleagues in the public sector to work on an accountability network that works. The independent colleges as a sector are larger than the University of California. About two-thirds of our students graduate at 4 years, which gives you an idea of the contribution to the state. There's a distinction that I think you've heard a couple of times today about the difference between consumer and policy-related accountability. And I think, as several speakers have talked about today, there is a slippery slope on the word of accountability. So separating those things is very important. I've given you in one sheet that looks like this several ranges that the independent colleges on an institutional basis are accountable, but I've also at the bottom put three accountability mechanisms which are in process that I hope the committee might look at a bit. The first, the Nakubo College Cost Project, was a comprehensive effort that involved the National Association of College and University Business Officers and representatives from the three four-year segments in California, but nationally, to develop an estimate of what it cost to educate a student at the undergraduate level. And the methodology was agreed to. It's a very useful thing to look at the issue of college costs, which has been high on the visibility of at least the national level. Second thing, and Gary talked about the nostalgic ASCU project, there is a second one that's going on nationally called the National College Information Guide. And it was started by the California Association, but it has now been adopted by the Big Six. It's being talked about by the Big Six associations, which represent all the segments of higher education. And the idea was to provide some educational information that students might use and some financial information. All of the elements in here on this sheet, and this is a draft as you can see it, designed to make information very graphic, easily understood, and all of the elements that were requested in the Spellings report and in H.R. 609, which was the committee bill for higher education reauthorization last year, are included here. And those are, with one exception, all national data sources and easily available. And it's been very gratifying to see that go forward. My last point is one which we make a lot, but I think it's important both for the public and independent institutions. One of the things that is vital about this, one of the things that was clear in the discussion in 1331, and we assume will be in the discussion here, is an understanding of two basic principles. Principle number one is that any accountability mechanism recognize the diversity of institutions. When you have a sector like ours, which ranges in size from 200 students in the smallest institution to 30,000 in the largest, we understand diversity pretty well. California has been blessed with a diverse set of institutions, and we need to do that. That in part means figuring out intelligently how to integrate individual institutional campus things with the broader statewide policy things, but the focus on whatever bill comes out ought to focus on statewide policy goals, and we're prepared to be involved in that. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I need that. For some reason, I didn't get it.
Oh, okay.
I got this, but I didn't get
okay,
this.
Okay. Well, I have other copies.
I thought perhaps you would, so just be sure to get it. Well, yes, we have had a very, very profitable morning, I think. We will be contacting all of the participants about this accountability. And this is not a finished product at all. It's simply a desire to move to accountability, and I want to applaud Senator Alpert for the work that she did. As it was pointed out, unfortunately, that bill was vetoed, so we will keep in constant contact with the governor's office to try to assure that the bill that we come up with doesn't suffer a similar fate. I think this has been a very, very helpful informational hearing. As I indicated, we have 10 minutes till 12 now. If there are those here who want to make public comment, you can simply make your way to the platform. But I would have to say you should be brief because we don't stand in the way of somebody in their lunchtime. Come right ahead. Ms. Dawkins, did you want to say something? Okay, certainly. David Hawkins, who's with the...
Thank you, Senator Scott. David Bala Hawkins with the California Faculty Association. First, I'd like to commend your staff. We've had these hearings now. I believe this is our third year, maybe even fourth year. And the broadness of the issue of accountability, we're very impressed with the discussion that took place today. I think before we were so focused on outcomes and goals that we excluded other aspects of accountability that we think are essential. One of them that was brought up by Mr. Callen that we would like to add some stress to, Senator, and it was an issue actually brought first by Jane Wellman when we were doing discussions on Senator Alpert's bill. And that's the issue that along with goals and objectives, we feel that it is essential, again, stress, essential, that any discussion of accountability include an assessment of how resources are spent by the institutions. And especially during a time when we have a dwindling percentage of the state general fund that's going towards public higher education, that there be some accountability on how those dwindling dollars are being expended by the institutions, and as a result of those expenditures, what impact that they have on goals and outcomes, especially in regards to student success. And so we hope your measure, Senator Scott, pays some serious attention to that facet, especially in regards to accountability. We think it's lacking very much right now within the California State University system, and we're hoping that some sort of improvement in accountability includes an assessment of how resources are expended and applied. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Very good point. Well taken. Other comments that someone else would like to come forward and make a comment? Thank you for your patience. I will thank the audience, and I thank the participants. Some of them are not here anymore, but I think they gave us a wealth of information, and I feel very encouraged, and I look forward to working with all of you. Anytime you undertake something of this magnitude, I fully realize the fact that it's a very expansive task, that there are a lot of interests that are involved, and we will, though, work toward as nearly perfect a product as we can, and I enlist the support, and I've been encouraged this morning by, for instance, the support of the segments, the kind of statements that they've made to indicate that they are on board, that they recognize the value of accountability. As public servants, we're here to serve the public, and one of the ways that we serve the public is to have an evaluation of how we're spending their money. And so that will be our goal, that this accountability will be a means by which higher education is improved. Obviously, the challenge before higher education in the state of California is enormous. There are a lot of things that are important to the welfare of the state, but I have to tell you that higher education is pretty high up on the list. If the institutions of higher education perform well, then the future of California, I think, is quite good. On the other hand, if we don't perform well, then I am very, very pessimistic about the future of our economy and the future of our state. And I think one of the reasons that California is called the Golden State, one of the reasons that it's the most populous state in the Union and is often a state that other people look to, has been the activity and the wonderful performance of our institutions of higher education. As someone who was involved in California higher education for over 30 years and now I'm involved in a very direct fashion here in the legislature, I'm very hopeful that this measure will be a means by which performance is improved. And thank you for your attendance.